woman without his wife present or without her husband present. I'm telling you what's going on right now, beloved. Listen to me. In Washington, D.C. is an abomination. Are you listening to me? Our beloved, when you can bring an accusation without any proof whatsoever and turn the laws of the country upside down to suit yourself, we're in a mess in this country. Yes, we are. And the Bible said the scoffers would come. What are we going to do, preacher? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray, because the only hope is that the God of heaven get a hold of some hearts, and God may be fixing to shake this country one more time. It may not be, beloved, what people are looking for, but God is still God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants us to pray. The element of promise, he's coming. What are they saying? Look in verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. How many believes, beloved? Listen, this world's going to burn. The word of God said the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. This world don't believe that. That's why this world ain't praying. This world treats God like a spare tire. When they have a blowout, they want to pull him out and pray. Amen. Yes, even the politicians, beloved, somebody dies and they want to get out a Bible and read a verse. I'm not against reading a verse. I just wish they'd read all the verses. Amen. And all the verses would take, my friend, effect in their heart and in their life. Watch this now. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You say, preacher, what is he saying right there? Here's what he's saying. He ain't been gone as long as you think, and it ain't going to be as long as you think, and he's going to be back. He's just been gone a couple of days. Hallelujah. And he's coming back in such an hour as you think not. They weren't looking for him in the flood. And listen, this world won't be looking for him in the fire. But God's people are not ignorant. God's people know the truth. And God's people are a praying people. Amen. And we're praying because of the element of his promise. Praying for our lost friends. Praying for our lost loved ones. Praying that the will of God will be done in our family. Praying for our missionaries. Given, beloved, listen, that the gospel may go forth around the world. Watch this now. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, God said, listen, the promise he's talking about here is the promise of his coming. He's not slack concerning his promise. Jesus prayed over there, Father, I will, that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Beloved, listen, there's a picture here of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's not slack concerning his promise, but he's, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward. Let me just say this to you tonight. Slack, that word might fit a lot of men, but that word will never fit our Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord's not slack, period. And especially concerning his promise. Amen. I believe tonight the Bible said here, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Watch this now. In verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How many believes? Listen, beloved, there's no such thing as holy conversation behavior outside of prayer. There's no such thing as godliness outside of prayer. Beloved, listen, when we spend time with him, that's when we learn what he's like, amen? And that's when his attributes, beloved, become incorporated into our life, and that's where we could be called a Christian, maybe, by somebody in this world. Amen. Somebody that's been with Jesus. Oh, there, Peter and John, I believe it was in Acts chapter 3. Maybe it's chapter 4. But the Word of God said they took knowledge of them. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. That didn't mean, beloved, listen, that that these men couldn't read and couldn't write and couldn't talk. What it meant was they didn't have that education that would make them a Pharisee or a Sadducee. They were ignorant. They're fishermen. Ignorant and unlearned men. But the Word of God said this, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. You go back in your life to these old-time Christians. You go back, beloved, listen to somebody that you can say walk with God, and you'll find somebody that had a prayer life. Somebody that believed Jesus was coming. Somebody that believed the Lord was not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward. Oh, beloved friend, tonight I appreciate the Bible looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, see it right there, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know what this world's full of? Unrighteousness. You know why He hadn't already come and judged the world? The cup of our iniquity's not yet full. But honey, I want you to know she's a filling up fast. But I want you to know this, there's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, and the Word of God tells us it's going to be righteousness that reigns in that new heaven and that new earth. What a blessing that is tonight. Well, that's the introduction. Let's get into the message tonight. You want to? Amen. You see, I had to encourage some of you to pray. So now you pray, and amen. Let's look at the message tonight. The element of promise in prayer. I believe if we believe this promise that Jesus gives us in John 17, it'll change our prayer life. Let me give you four things quickly tonight that this promise exhibits. Number one, this promise of His coming, it exhibits our Lord's longing. The Lord has a longing, Brother Gary, in His heart tonight. You know what He's longing for? He's longing for you to come and be with Him, that you can see Him, that you can be like Him, amen, that you can be with Him where He is. How many believes that's what this prayer is saying right here? He said, oh, preacher, He's praying for His disciples. No, 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 no. You go back and read the verse. I pray not for these alone, but for all them who through these shall believe. I'm telling you tonight, our Lord has a longing in His heart. I'm looking forward, listen to me, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I believe there's somebody looking more forward to it than I am. And that's the Lord and Savior that I serve. He's looking forward to that day when the church gathers around and sings, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah tonight. There's a longing in His heart for His people to be with Him. Beloved, tonight, think about that. Look what the Bible said over there in 2 Peter again. There, I just read the verse, I believe, or at least part of it. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Let me tell you, just say this tonight. If Jesus is looking for and longing for and hasting for that day, don't you think His children ought to be looking for and longing for and hasting for that day? Oh, beloved friend, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. We're going to look on His face, have a glorified body like unto the Son of God, one that'll never hurt again, one that'll never visit the funeral home again, one that'll never weep again. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Jesus is longing for that day. You and I ought to be longing for the same day. And if we're not longing for it, that's evidence we're not praying like we ought to be praying. Because if we're praying like we ought to be praying, we'd be praying like He prays. We'd be saying, Jesus, not only are You looking forward to seeing us, but we're looking forward to seeing You. Right now, we see Him by faith. But hallelujah, the day's coming. John saw Him, didn't he? In Revelation chapter number 1, the Word of God said, John fell at His feet as dead. Oh, I tell you something tonight, church, listen to me carefully. I believe with all of my heart there ought to be a looking for and a longing for, a hasting unto that day when we can fall at His feet And maybe one time, that's the way I feel about it. Praise him like he ought to be praised. And thank him like he ought to be praised. And thank him like he ought to be thanked. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, in this old flesh we live in, we fall short, don't we? Amen. But there's coming a day when we won't be in this flesh anymore. I like that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Looking for that day, this robe of flesh will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. But we're not supposed to be singing farewell tonight. We're supposed to be praying. Say amen. Looking for, longing for, hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Oh, beloved, the choir sang a song tonight. Talked about mothers over there. Fathers over there. I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my children. But this is just the way the cycle of life works. The older we get, the more we've got on the other side. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. And I praise his name tonight. We'll see him again. All because of Calvary. There's the element of promise. This promise of the second coming, it exhibits our Lord's longing. Secondly, this promise exhibits our Lord's love. The Word of God said there in John chapter number 17, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Let me just tell you something. The Father loved the Son, and the Father loved you and I. You say, preacher, how can you say that? He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. I believe, listen, if we're men and women of prayer, that we do not take for granted the fact that God loves. Listen, it blows my mind tonight. Listen, if you think you deserve to be loved, you probably ain't been too close to him in a while. Because I'm going to tell you something tonight. You and I don't deserve anything but hell. That's all we deserve. But thank God he loves us and he gave himself for us. And it's in prayer that we have that fellowship with him and look for his coming. He's coming. There's a promise that exhibits our Lord's love. We love him tonight because he first loved us. I think about this tonight. Not only does this promise exhibit our Lord's longing and our Lord's love, but look at our Lord's loyalty in this scripture tonight. In verse number 26, he said, I have declared unto them thy name. Watch this. And will declare it. Do you know what Jesus said? I've done what's right, and I'm going to do what's right. He was loyal to his Father. You know, tonight I don't believe in blind loyalty, but I believe when you look in the Word of God and study about a Savior named Jesus, he deserves our loyalty tonight. And I believe that it's in prayer. Jesus in prayer is exhibiting his loyalty. He said, Lord, I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. I'm not going to stop now because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Hedrick family is not going west of the Mississippi to declare the Hedrick name. They're going to declare the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that's wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The one, beloved, listen, that's Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The one that's the light of the world. The one that's the bread of life. The one that's the way, the truth, and the life. It's his name that's wonderful tonight. It's not about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's all about him. They sang the other night so wonderfully. The element of promise. It exhibits our Lord's loyalty. You know something tonight? There's probably not a person in the building, if they'd be honest, that couldn't say, I have failed the Lord. How many could raise your hand right there? Now listen to me carefully tonight. How many could raise your hand and say, he's never failed me? I've not always been loyal, but I tell you, he's always been loyal. He's never failed me. He's never failed anyone tonight. What a Savior. That's the one that's coming. And then I want to give you this tonight in closing. Think about this. This promise exhibits our Lord's long-suffering. When you take the the last part of verse 26. He said, I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it. Then he said this, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Now, what's important about that? Let's look at it tonight and see. Look at verse number 3 in the book of John and chapter 17. Look at verse 3, and we're going to see why. The Bible said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Now, see that? Underline that they might know thee. What's this got to do with long suffering? I'm going to tell you why Jesus is praying. He wants somebody else to know him. He's long suffering, amen. You say, preacher, why didn't you go to hell before you were 27 years old? I'll tell you why. Because God is long suffering. He wasn't willing that I should perish, but he was long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Now watch this tonight. Look at verse 3. I saw that. Look at verse 21. The Bible said here that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. All of this is centered around, listen, God said, listen, I want them to have my love. I want them to love one another. I want them to be one like we're one. And this whole thing is about somebody else seeing Jesus. You know, Philip said in one place there, sirs, we would see Jesus. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly, but you're not going to see a 900-foot Jesus. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what you will see. You'll see the love of God shed abroad in people's hearts that know Jesus and that walk with Jesus and fellowship with Jesus and talk with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus. Watch this now. Verse 21, he said, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Watch this. Look at it. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, wait a minute now. Right here, he's not talking about his disciples knowing that the Father's loved them. He's talking about the world knowing that they have loved them. What did Jesus say? He said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he said this, by this shall saved men know. And what he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. The whole promise here of Jesus coming is centered around the fact that he's long-suffering. His whole prayer here is centered around the fact that he wants somebody to know. He wants somebody to believe. I say this, and I mean it from the depths of my heart. If the only reason God saved me was to take me to heaven, he'd have hit me in the head the day he saved me and took me out of here. But he left me here. You want to know why? Because he wanted his love to be shed abroad in my heart, that somebody else might understand that there's a God in heaven that loves someone and that gave his life for them. A lot of people think they got to straighten up and then God will love them. The Bible said God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can't do one thing to get God to love you any more than he loves you right now. Not one, as old country boy says, cotton-picking thing. You can't do it, amen? God loves you. How much does he love you? So much that he gave his only begotten son. This promise exhibits our Lord's long-suffering. Let me share this with you, and I'm done tonight. During his 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy, I believe John is the one that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Let me just say this tonight. Right there's the dividing line in our country tonight. A whole lot of people, all they want to know is what my country can do for me. Let me just say this tonight. I believe that's a dividing line among the children of God tonight. A lot of people's asking, God, what can you do for me? Instead of asking, God, what can I do for you? Say amen. Now watch this. John Kennedy said this. It's Harry Heinz is the one that I read this after. John Kennedy often closed his speeches with the story of Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. On May the 19th, 1780, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously. And some of his the representatives, glancing out the windows, they feared that the end was at hand. There was a clamor for immediate adjournment. Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it's not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought. Rather than fearing what is to come, we are to be faithful till Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we're supposed to be lights in the dark place while we wait upon our Lord to come and take us home." I'll never forget this. Brother John, there's several of us men working, and I can't read this passage of Scripture, Brother John. I read it this afternoon without thinking about that. And Brother John said to me, he said, "Preacher," I said, "What, Brother John?" He said, "Do you believe in the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ?" I said, "I sure do, Brother John." He said, "Then what are we doing all this work for?" I remember telling Brother James Jones that on the phone. I think Brother James either was coming in revival or he'd already been here in revival. And Brother James said, "You go back in there and tell John to occupy till I come." Amen. Amen. I pick on you, Brother John, but you remember that, don't you? Amen. What are we doing all this? That's what I wonder sometimes. What are we doing all this work for? Amen. I tell you why. Because Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." I want to be found doing my duty. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. I want to be found doing my duty. There's the element of promise that'll keep us praying. He's coming. I said, "He's coming. He's coming." It might be a silly illustration. Years ago on the farm, we didn't have shoes a whole lot of the time. We run around barefooted when school wasn't in session. But we loved to play hide and seek. I can count to 100 faster than anybody in the world if you're playing hide and seek. I guarantee it. Amen. I only skip about 95 numbers. Then I'll holler this, "Ready or not, here I come." I'm telling you tonight, friend, listen to me. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. He's long-suffering tonight. Yes, he is. But the day will come when judgment will come. The day will come when the long-suffering will be over. And the judgment that's been promised upon this world will come. How that ought to break our hearts tonight as believers to know. How many of you got a family member that ain't ready to go or a friend that ain't ready to go? If we really believe that Jesus is coming, wouldn't that cause us to pray? Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. The missionaries, they need support. They need prayer support. They need financial support. They always do. But I'll be honest with you, Brother Joseph, I was a missionary for 10 years. And I was just as thankful when somebody said, "We'll be praying. We'll be praying." Because it's prayers that we need in order to do what God would have us to do. Let's bow for prayer tonight.